The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Pinchas. To a little background, first, let us go back to the beginning of the previous Parsha, Parsha's Bolok. In the beginning of last week's Parsha, it states, Vayar Bolok ben Sipor, es asher osu Yisrael le'amori. Bolok, the son of Tzipor, Bolok was the king of Moab. And he saw everything that Yisrael did to Amori. What happened was, is that this is taking place at the end of the 40 years in the desert, and they are coming near the borders of Eretz Yisrael. They are actually in what was known as the land of Eber HaYarden, Transjordan. It's the other side of the river, the other side of the West Bank. And there were two great kings, Og Melech HaBoshan and Sihon, the king of Amori. And they tried to prevent Klal Yisrael from coming through this land, and they went to war against them. And Moshe defeated both of these great kings and their nations. So therefore Rashi brings, Omar, Elu Shnei Malochim Shohayinu Betuchim Aleihem Le'omdu Bifneihem Ono Al Achas Kama V'Kama. These two great kings, that we were relying on them, and they could not protect our borders from Israel. So surely we are in danger now. Therefore it states Vayogor Moab Bibnei Om Me'od, that Moab, the nation, became very, very fearful of Klal Israel. Vayomer Moab El Zikne Midyon, and Moab said to the elders of Midyon. Now the question is, what does Midian have to do with this? Midian was another nation. So Rashi brings up 2 points. Firstly, Midian was another nation. Secondly, there was never peace between Moab and Midian. They were not allies. So why does Moab go to Midian? Forever they were fighting against each other. Because of the common fear that they had from Klal Yisrael, so they made peace with each other. Now, Maro or Moav, little Eitzel Memidjon, why did Moav go to Midjon? Kivan Sharau, as Yisrael Neitzachim Shalek Minigo Olam, since they saw that Yisrael were defeating everyone in their path, not according to the nature of the world. It was miracles. So therefore, Omru Minhogi Manhigel Minhigom Shal Elu B'Midyon Nisgadl. The leader of Yisrael, he grew up in Midyon. Moshe, when he ran away from Paroi, he ran to the land of Midyon. And that's where he became a shepherd by Yisro, and he married Yisro's daughter. So they said that Moshe grew up in Midyon. Nishal mehem mami dosre. So let's go and ask them, what do they know about this person? And perhaps they will be able to give us eitzel, counsel, good advice, how to defeat him. Omru, they said, ein keche el befiv. His whole power is in his mouth. His power to speak, his power to tefillah, of prayer. He speaks to the Almighty. Omru, so therefore Moav said, Af onu novo alehem the odem shekecha befi. We will look for someone whose power also is in the mouth. So that's why it states, Vayishlach malochim al Bilam ben Peor. They sent messengers to Bilam, the son of Beor, to tell him, Hinei am yotzer mimitzrayim. a nation has gone out of Egypt and they're covering the whole land and they're consuming everything in its path. Please go and curse this person, this nation, because they are too strong for us. Because we know that whoever you bless is blessed, and whoever you curse is cursed. Bilam was given a power by the Almighty in prophecy, and also the power of the mouth. He had a very, very good keach to bless and to curse. The reason he was given this is because Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't want where the nations of the world will say that the reason why Klal Yisrael is so great is because you gave them great prophets. Had you given us great prophets, we would also be as great. So he said, all right, I'll give you a very, very great prophet. And Bilam had enormous potential. He had a potential to become as great a prophet as Moshe Rabbeinu, had he used his potential. So, therefore, they hired, the story tells us, that they hired Bilam to go and to curse Klal Yisrael in order that they would be able to defeat them. In last week's Pasha, we learned how he kept trying to curse Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would turn the curses into brachas. Until finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, do not try to curse this nation, because they are blessed. And then, near the end of Pasha's Bolok, in Perichov Dalet, Pasuk Yud Dalet, Bilam told Bolok, and Bolok was getting very angry and frustrated. He invested a lot of money, and meanwhile he wasn't getting his return. So Bilam said, Vato hineni halech la'ami, I am going back to my nation. What does that mean? Rashi brings, he says, Me'ato ahareni kishar ami, shenistalek HaKadosh Baruch Hu me'olai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu now has taken his Shechina from me. He has taken his holy presence and his influence from me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that what I really am and what I was trying to do with his powers. And therefore, I'm like anyone else now in my nation. I'm no one special anymore. So he said, Hineni holech la'ami, I am going back to my nation. But I will give you counsel what this nation is going to do to you in the end of days. And then he starts to prophesize what will be in the end of days. But our Chazal sages also learned from here that not only will I give you counsel what they're going to do to you in the end of days, but I can give you some advice how to defeat them. I cannot defeat them, but I will give you advice how to defeat them. And the Rashi brings from the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Kuf Hei, Elayim she'elu seine zimohu. The God of this nation, he hates immorality. He hates incest and adultery and immorality. And certainly he hates idolatry, Avodah Zarah. So he advised Bolok, he said, send in your daughters to the nation and let them tempt all of the men. And as they tempt all of the men, let them bring them not only to acts of immorality, but to Avodah Zarah, to idolatry. Let them carry their idols with them. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will become so angry at Yisrael, you will be able to defeat them. In other words, this will be self-destructive. So this is the advice that Bilam gave to Bolok. At the very end of the parsha, in Perichof Hei, Posuk Aleph, by Yeshiv Yisrael, Bishitim, the nation stopped in a certain place called Shittim, and this was on the borders of Moav. They set up camps there. And there, the nation started to commit acts of immoralities and promiscuity with the daughters of Moab. In other words, Balak had put Balaam's acts, advice into action. And it states that he even sent his own daughter. There were five kings in Moab, and the greatest king was Balak. He even sent his own daughter into the camp. And actually she had special instructions to try and to tempt Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Anyway, so they came into the camp and they caused Klal Yisrael, many of Klal Yisrael, brought them to Aveira, and they would bring them, Rashi brings, they would take out their idols of Baal Peor, and they would bring them to Aveira Zorah. And this was a very hated Aveira Zorah, very, very hated idolatry by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Tikrena Lo'om Lezivche Lehem, they called the nation to the sacrifices to their gods, and they were successful. Vayechal Ha'om, the nation ate with them, Vayishtachavu Lelehim, and bowed to their gods. Vayicharaf Hashem Vayitzomad Yisrael Baal Peor, and to the god of Baal Peor. Vayicharaf Hashem Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger became mighty. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and complained to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayema Moshe, Vayema Hashem El Moshe. And Hashem said to Moshe, Kach has called Rosh Ha'om, take every leader of the nation, Veheka Asam LaShem Neger HaShomesh V'yoshev Charenaf Hashem Yisrael. My anger will not cool off unless you kill all of those who are guilty of serving idolatry. So therefore Moshe called in all the judges of Israel and he told them to go find all of those that worshipped Peor and kill them. Rashi brings that there were 88,000 judges in Israel and each one killed two. So this caused the death of 196,000 people. Now, while this was all taking place, v'inei ish mivnei Yisrael bo, v'yakrev elecho v'esamidjonis, l'inei Moshe, l'inei kol adas b'nei Yisrael, v'im abeichim pesach ha'ol ma'ed. While this was taking place, a man from Yisrael came. This man was the prince of Shevet Shimon. Later on, the Torah tells us. He was the prince, the leader of the tribe of Shimon. And his name was Zimri ben Solu. And then he came with a Midianite woman. And the Midianite woman was Cosby Basur. She was the daughter of the king of Balak. And it states, Vayakrev, he came close. He brought her close. What was going on? So Rashi tells us from the Gemara, Niskaptsu shiftei shel Shimon etzel Zimri, shoyenosi shelahem. The tribe of Shimon gathered together and they went to Zimri, who was their prince. The omru lei onu nidainin b'misa ba'ato yeshev. Here our brethren are being killed through the instructions of this Moshe, and you are going to sit idle and not do anything. So therefore he took this woman, this was Cosby Basur, the daughter of the king of Balak. He came to Moshe and he asked Moshe, Zu asura or muteres? Is this woman forbidden or permissible? Im teimer asura, and if you will tell me that she is forbidden, Bas Yisrael mihi tiraloch, who permitted you to take the daughter of Yisrael? Because he says, if you will tell me that she is forbidden,
because she's not from the Bnei Yisrael, she's from Moab, or she's from Midian. So then, who has permitted you to take the daughter of Yisrael that was also from Midian? Now, then he went, and he took her into the tent, and there, in the presence of that everyone knew what was going on, he committed an aveira with her. Now it states, "Behema bechin pesecho el ma'ed." See, he took her le'enei kol hadas b'nei Yisrael. This was where everyone knew what he was doing. "Behema bechin pesecho el ma'ed," and they were weeping in the front of the Ohel Ma'ed, in the front of the Mishkan, the sanctuary, where Moshe would be. Why were they weeping? Because Moshe stood silently. He didn't know what to answer him, and he took no action. And therefore this person went, and he went, and he committed the Aveira, and Moshe couldn't do anything. Be'egol omad Moshe keneged shishim rabua. When it came to the golden calf, Moshe single-handedly stood up against 600,000 men. Bekan rofu yotov. Here, he was not able to do anything against one person. He didn't know what to do. Why was this? Kidei shiyov pinchas v'yit lesaroylei. Moshe had forgotten what the halacha was in such a case. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him forget, because he wanted to give the reward to someone else who would come and take the action, and this was Pinchas. Bayar Pinchas ben Elozer ben Aaron HaKohen. Pinchas, the son of Elozer, the son of Aaron HaKohen, he was the grandson of Aaron the Kohen, and he saw. What did he see? The Gemara says, Ro Maisa v'nisker halocha. He saw what was going on and he remembered the halocha. You see, we can very rarely take the law into our own hands. If someone does something wrong, so then you have to bring him to the Beis Din, to the court. You have to have due process. You have to have witnesses, testimonies, cross-examinations, and then there has to be a judgment. You can't take the law into your own hands. But he remembered that there were certain rare exceptions where one is allowed to do, to take the law into his own hands. And this was such an exception in this kind of case. He went to Moshe, Omer le Moshe, Mikublani mimeko, Habel Aramis kanoim pagin bay. Isn't it true that you taught us that in such a case where someone takes a daughter of an idolater, in other words, an idolatress, and he commits an act of promiscuity with her, where it's in presence of everyone knows, then Kanoin Poginbo, a zealot, can go and take action. He can kill them. So Moshe said, Omale, Kareyano di Galto, Iulahavi Paravamko. Let the one who brings the document, let him fulfill it. We could say that Moshe just answered him in a poetic way, that the one who brings the document, you fulfill it. But actually there's a deeper reason, because the Gemara says this is allowed. The zealot, the kanoi, is allowed to take the law into his own hands, but this is only if he does it himself. If he comes to Beis Din, ain meirin kein. If he comes to Beis Din and asks if he can, we do not tell him. So therefore, Moshe just answered. He said that the one who brings the document from the king, the instructions, let him fulfill it. Vayikach, so then it states, Vayokom mitocha edo, so Pinchas stood up, Vayikach remach biyodo, and he took a spear in his hands. Vayove achri ish Yisrael al akuba, Vayitkore shneem, and he went into the tent, and he stabbed them both, pierced them both. Ish Yisrael v'esu ish al kovoso. Now, this was not so simple. because he was the prince of Shevet Shimon, the tribe of Shimon, and the brothers of Shimon, all of his brothers, all of his people of that Shevet were not going to let this happen. Plus they were guarding the tent. So the Gemara brings that he had to go in secretly. He took his spear and he made it into like a cane. He took off the head and made it into like a cane. And so they were not noticing that he was carrying a spear. And he went in a covert manner. And he was, this was not an easy thing to do for him to stand up against everyone, but this shows the greatness of Pinchas. So he went and he killed both of them. And then it states, Amate Otsar Hamagef of Me'al B'nei Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had brought a plague after the judges had killed everyone, and the plague stopped. Vayu Amesim B'Magefa Arba V'Esrim Olaf. An additional 24,000 people had died in that plague. This halacha is what is known as Kanoin Poginba, that zealot, someone who sees this and becomes so angry and outraged, he is allowed to take action and even to kill them. This halacha, in this case, as mentioned, this is a rare halacha in the Torah. It applies only to very, very singular cases. And in this case, it applies only in such a situation where someone takes a bas avedis ora, a daughter who is an idolatress. And the posuk, which is brought by the Gemara on this, Ubo al bas il mechor. The Rambam brings in Perik Yud Beis Aloha Hei and Vov is Bahabe Kilu Nishaten La Vedisora Atzmai. That the reason why this halacha is so severe is because this is as if a person is making a union with the idolatry itself. And from the fact that this is Bifar Heshir, this is in presence of a rabbim, of many people, and therefore Mechale Kodesh Hashem Bifar Heshir. This is the greatest Chilul Hashem, desecration of Hashem. It's ki'ilu nischaten la'vedizora atzmai. It's as if someone is making a union, he's marrying the alien god himself. So this is this halacha. Now, the next parsha, and that's the parsha that is ours this week. It states, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe lemon. Hashem said to Moshe to say, Pinchas ben Elozer ben Aaron HaKohen. Pinchas, the son of Elozer, the son of Aaron HaKohen, Heishi v'shamosi me'al b'nei Yisrael. He has turned back my wrath from b'nei Yisrael. Be'kanai es kanosi b'seichom. He has avenged my honor amongst them. B'lechilisi es b'nei Yisrael b'kinosi. And by doing this, he caused me not to destroy Klal Yisrael in my wrath. Lachain Emor, therefore say to him, Hinani Nesein Le Es Brisi Sholom, I will give to him my covenant of peace. And it shall be for him and his descendants afterwards the covenant of the priesthood forever. Tachas Asher Kine Lelokov by Chaper Al Bnei Yisrael, because he has avenged my honor. And this atoned for B'nai Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu came out now and gave him his covenant of peace. You know, it's a little ironic that here he goes and he does such a violent act of war, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in return gives him a covenant of peace. We'll speak about that in a minute or two. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said two things. I give to him my covenant of peace, and he and his descendants after him shall be included in the kohuna, in the priesthood. Now, the simple text, the simple meaning is this was one gift. What was the gift? That he and the descendants shall be kohanim. But this needs clarification. They already were Kohanim. They were from the descendants of Aaron. So Rashi explains, the Gemara, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Aaron, he gave him the gift of Kohuna, a priesthood. He said, this will be to you and to Elozer. This will be to you, Elozer, and your descendants afterwards. Afal pishik va nit nekuna lezare shalara le nit la ana levonov shenim shechu imay betol desehem shi yivoldu acharam shechosu. He took Aaron and his sons, he anointed them, and they and all of their sons born afterwards would be Kohanim. But he did not take the grandsons at that time. And Pinchas was living and he was a grandson. So therefore Pinchas and his ultimate descendants would not be Kohanim. He only took Aaron and his sons, he anointed them, and any children that were born to them later would be born as Kohanim. But Pinchas, who was a grandson, and he was already born at that time, was not included in the Kuhuna. Now, because of this, so Pinchas now was given the gift of Kohuna and any children that would be born to him afterwards. And then the Torah tells us, V'shem ish Yisrael amuka asher huka yasam idyoni zimri ben solu. The name of the one of Yisrael was Zimri ben Solu, and he was the Nosi of the tribe of Shimon, and the name of the woman was Cosby Basur, and she was from the kings of Moab. And the Chazal tell us that this was the daughter of Bolok, like we mentioned. There's another explanation, though, in what is meant Brisi Sholom, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually gave Pinchas two gifts. One gift was the gift of Kohuna, as mentioned, but another gift, Brisi Sholom, this is brought in the Midrashim, and it's brought also in the Targum Yenisen Ben Uziel, Shalmei Mimusa. Kodesh Baruch Hu said that you will always have peace from the Malach HaMogesh. Everyone has to one day face the Malach HaMogesh, the angel of death, as much as we try to avoid him. But everyone ultimately has to face him. Pinchas, he said, you will not have to face the Malach HaMogesh. I give you peace from him. He will not be able to touch you. So what does that mean? That means that Pinchas never died. So the Mephoshim, the Midrashim ring, that firstly we know he lived a long, long time, because we find much later in the Nach, in the Nevi'im, already way in the time of Eli and Shmuel, Samuel, Pinchas is still there. See, his Ma'arich Yomim, he lived a long, long time. But he must have died sometime. So the Chazal bring that Pinchasu Eliyahu, that actually Eliyahu was a continuity of Pinchas. What if they mean actually physically or spiritually, that I can't tell you. But it states Pinchasu Eliyahu, Eliyahu Pinchas. And the fact is, there's a Gemara I came across not long ago where the Gemara brings that Eliyahu was a Kohen. And I was wondering, how did the Gemara know that Eliyahu was a Kohen? So, but it was Rashi brings, because Eliyahu was Pinchas, and Pinchas was a Kohen. And Eliyahu never died. See? It states that Eliyahu was just swept to heaven and he never died. So that's what it would mean, that Sholem Malach HaMogesh. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you did this for me, in return I'll do something for you. See? You were not afraid of the whole tribe of Shimon. I will reward you where you won't have to be afraid of the Malach HaMogesh, and you'll live forever. And there's another Medrash that states that Pinchas will be here till the end of days by the redemption. And this also fits into this, because the Gemara says Eliyahu will come to be Mavaser Es HaGeula. Eliyahu will be the one that will come to announce the coming of the Melech HaMashiach. All right. Now, states Pinchas ben Elozer ben Aaron HaKohen. Pinchas, the son of Elozer, the son of Aaron HaKohen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Heishiv es chamosi me'al b'nei Yisrael. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu announced this, so he traced Pinchas to three generations, to his father Elozer and to his grandfather Aaron. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to do this? He could have just said Pinchas, or Pinchas ben Elozer, Pinchas the son of Elozer. Why does he have to say Pinchas, the son of Elozer, the son of Aaron? So Rashi brings a Gemara. He actually brings two Gemaras, one in Sanhedrin and one in Sotah. But he says, Lefi shohoya ashvoti mevazim eisor. Her isem ben puti zeh shepitem avi imay agolim laveirizora. Agnosi shevet Misrael. This was not such an easy thing to do. You know, whenever someone does something, there are always going to be comments from people around. The more people involved, the more comments there are. The whole nation was aware of this. This was a great episode in the history of Klal Yisrael. It was a great episode, it was a tragic episode, whatever it was, but it was a great historical event. And whenever things like this happen, not everybody is of the same agreement. You take Lahavdil, president does something. Not everybody was in agreement here and was happy with what Pinchas did. Many held he was a murderer. And he was a murderer in cold blood. So therefore there were many that would mock him. And they would say like this, Pinchas, he was the son of Elozer. Elozer married a woman who was a descendant of Yisro. So therefore, Pinchas not only came from a grandfather Aaron, but in his ancestors also was Yisro. So there were many that were mocking him, especially from the tribe of Shimon, saying that he's not from our people. He's from Yisro. He's from the Goyim. Therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to award him, he said, no, this is Pinchas ben Elozer ben Aaron HaKohen. He comes from Aaron. See, they wanted to say, because Yisro, even though Yisro later on became a very righteous person, but originally Yisro was a great idolater. So they said, look, a descendant from Yisro, who ancestor fattened cattle for idolatry, now he has killed a prince of Yisrael. So therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said this. Now for a clear explanation in this, I once heard when we were in St. Louis from the Rav of St. Louis, Rav Nachum Zvi Eichenstein, Zichrei Nevrocha, what the explanation in this is, and later on I found it in the Gurai and the Maral. They held that this was not an act of righteousness, but to the contrary, this was an act of cold-blooded murder. And therefore they said that he has two ancestries, one from Aaron and one from Yisro. The power to kill two people in cold blood, this is the Yisro in him. It's not the Aaron in him. From Aaron would come Kedusha, Tahara, Rachmanis, sanctity, purity, compassion. From Yisro could come such violence. In other words, they were saying that this is the Goy in him, not the Yisrael in him. That's what they were saying on Pinchas. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Pinchas ben Elozer ben Aaron HaKohen. Pinchas, the son of Elozer, the son of Aaron. No, this did not come from Yisro. This came from Aaron. This was an act of sanctity, of purity. This was not an act of merely wanton violence. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was miyachas him, brought his whole yichus all the way to Aram. Now, actually though, if we go into this a little deeper, really, they had a sound basis for saying what they did say, because actually Aaron was just the opposite of this. In last week's parsha, it states, this is in Parshas Chukos, Aaron dies, and it says, "Vayivku es Aaron shloishim yoim kol beis Yisrael." Aaron died, and the entire house of Israel wept for Aaron for 30 days. By Moshe, at the end of Zeis HaBrocha, when Moshe dies, it states, "Vayivku b'nei Yisrael es Moshe shloishim yoim." It doesn't say kol beis Yisrael. The entire house of Israel wept. It just says the sons of Israel wept. So the Chazal, the sages, asked, "What's why? Why by Aaron does it say Vayivku kol beis Yisrael, the entire household of Israel, and by Moshe, the great leader, it says b'nei Yisrael, the sons of Israel wept?" And they explained, because Moshe was, there was no one greater than Moshe, but he was not beloved by everyone. He was the king. He was the judge. He was a kanoi. He was a zealot. When you take the kol beis Yisrael, anoshim v'noshim, not only the men but even the women, because Aaron was known as the Ahav Shalom. He went around and he made peace all of the time. He made peace between man and his fellow man. He made peace between man and his wife. And he was the one that brought unity into the nation. And he was beloved to everyone. And he would, in the Midrashim, bring that he would even bring himself, humble himself tremendously, to be a person of peace and harmony. And therefore, Vayivku kol beis Yisrael. When he died, everyone wept and everyone mourned. He had no enemies. And we see in Masechta Avos, later generations, there was to stand up in Yisrael the great Hillel HaNasi, Hillel the prince. And he taught in Masechta Avos, Hillel haya emer, hevi mi talmidov shel Aaron, make yourself a disciple of Aaron, ahav shalom v'radif shalom, love peace and pursue peace, ohev es habriyos u'makarvel l'Torah, love the people and bring them close to Torah. So this was Aaron's way. And Hillel wasn't an empty talker. If he said you should make yourself as a disciple of Aaron, he wasn't a Danish vein of Makayim. He himself became that way. Hillel was famous for being such a person. We have, for example, the Gemara in Bame Madlikim, where the Gemara brings that there were those that made a wager to try to upset Hillel and see if you could get him angry. And nobody could get him angry. They came on the Erev Shabbos to him when he was getting ready for Shabbos, and everybody knows Erev Shabbos, everybody's very busy, and he had a lot to do. And they called, "Yesh kan Hillel, is Hillel here?" Hillel, in an arrogant, unpolite way. And Hillel put on his robe and he came out, and they started to ask him all kind of irrelevant, stupid questions. They asked him, "Why are the heads of the Babylonians so out of shape? And why are the feet of the Africans so wide? And why are the eyes of a certain another people partially closed?" And they kept coming three times. And on each one, Hillel would give them an answer very patiently, and he wouldn't get angry. And then the Gemara brings the case where a person came. Hillel lived together with Shammai. These were the two great leaders of Klal Yisrael. And a person came to Shammai and he said, I want to convert to Judaism, but I only want to accept the mitzvahs which are explicit in the written law. No, mitzvahs, don't bother me with mitzvahs of the Talmud. He says, I don't like the Talmud, the oral law. Shammai was the Kamei. Shammai was a builder, so he used to have a big measuring rod. He took his measuring rod and drove him out. And this was the halacha, because the halacha is that if someone comes to convert, he has to be prepared to accept the entire Torah, just like Klal Yisrael was prepared to accept the entire Torah on Sinai. A conversion is like coming to Sinai. He came to Hillel, and Hillel said, good. He says, come to me tomorrow and I'll start teaching you. And slowly, Hillel saw good qualities in this person, and eventually he made a wonderful ger convert out of him. Then the Gemara brings another case. Another guy comes, and he comes to Shammai, and he says, I want to be a Jew, but you must teach me all I have to know on one foot. He says, I don't have time for more than that. Well, Shammai took his measuring rod and drove him out. Came to Hillel. Hillel said, all right, stand on one foot. He said, what you have to know is that you don't want others to do to you, don't do to them. That's the major principle of the entire Torah. The rest is commentary. Now Zil Gemor, come tomorrow and we'll start learning the commentary. And slowly he made him into a good Jew. Gemara brings a third case. There was a non-Jew and he was passing a cheder and he heard the children studying about the big day kahin godel, the garments of the high priest, and such beautiful garments, the ephod and the choshen, the breastplate full of beautiful precious stones and so forth. And he decided, I want to become a Jew and become the high priest so I can wear such beautiful garments. Came to Shammai and he says, make me into a Jew on the condition that I'll become a Kohen Gadol. So Shammai drove him out. Comes to Hillel. Hillel said, all right. And he started to teach him. And he sent him to Cheder and so forth. One day he's learning, this person. And it states, V'chol hazor ha-korev yumos. Anyone who is not a Kohen, if he comes near the sanctuary, heaven will put him to death. So he went and he said, if someone is a born Jew, but he's not a born Kohen, and he goes near the sanctuary, is it true that he's deserving of the death penalty by heaven? So they told him, not only a regular Jew, but even Dovid HaMelech, even King David. So he said, if even the king of the Jews cannot become a Kohen, how much more so am I not able to? And he understood and eventually became a good Jew. Then the Gemara brings that all three of them got together one day, they met, and each one told the other over his story. And they said, Shammai bikshu litoravnu mina elam. Kaptenusa ishal Shammai. The strictness and the zealousness, the rigidness of Shammai almost drove us away from the world. In the sanusa ishal Hillel, but the humility and the ways of peace of Hillel, Karabnu tachas kanfei ha-shechina, brought us to the Shechina. So here we see that it was not Hillel's way who was emulating the ways of Aaron HaKohen to be violent. to be the zealot. To the contrary, he looked always for peaceful means. The Gemara brings in another place, the Gemara brings in Erbim. The Gemara says that there was a great dispute between the house of Hillel and the house of Shammai as to who the halacha should be like. They had many disputes, different opinions when it came to halacha, to Jewish law. And this went on for 3 years. Finally, a baskol, a voice from heaven came down and said, Elu ve'elu divar elim chayim. The words of Shammai and the words of Hillel are the words of the living God. But halacha ki Hillel. We have to know one way how to judge, how to decide the law. The law is like Hillel. So the Gemara says, if both are the words of the living God, why is the law like Hillel? So the Gemara brings because they were of a very calm and peaceful nature, the aluvin, and they were very patient and long-suffering, and you couldn't get them angry. And when they would teach, when the house of Hillel would teach, give a shiur, they wouldn't say, this is the halacha. No. They would say, in Hillel's opinion, this is the halacha. Shammai's opinion, this is the halacha. And not only that, but first they would give honor to Shammai. They would first say, Shammai's opinion was this, Hillel's opinion is this. So because of that, the halacha was decided in their favor. So we see that Hillel was not a confrontation. He wasn't looking for confrontation. That was not his personality. Fact is, there's another Gemara. It's a Gemara in Masech the Beitzah. But the Gemara brings, interesting the Gemara, that Hillel was bringing an animal to the Beis HaMikdash and there he was going to sacrifice it. And he was going to do smicha on it. This, before you sacrifice your animal that you bring to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to lean on the animal and put your entire weight on it. Now there was a question here, a legal question. It was Yantif. So Chovru Olav Talmidei Shammai Hazokin. The disciples of Shammai came and they held that one was not allowed to do smicha on Yantif. And they said, they came and they said, and this was Hillel himself, Maisa B'Hillel Hazokin. And they said, Mativu shel behemazu. What kind of animal are you bringing to the Beis HaMikdash here that you're going to be somech, you're going to lean on it, on Yantif? Now they were under the impression it was for the sacrifice of the Ola, and which it was, and which is a male animal. Hillel lied. Omelehem nikevahi. He said it's a female animal. And it's not coming for an Ola, it's coming for a Shlomim, another type of sacrifice, and therefore the discussion is entirely not relevant. So he lied. Hillel lied. Rashi says, Meirev in Vasanuse shel Hillel Oye Meshanem Ibni Asholem. He didn't want a confrontation. Many times we go out of our way to look for a confrontation. Hillel says, what do I need a confrontation with them for? I'm going to tell them what the animal is, and then they'll tell me I'm not allowed to do this, and I'll say I am allowed to do this, and it'll be a whole machlekes. Yeah? And yet here in the Beis HaMikdash, now, he says, it's a different type of animal, it's not relevant. So they went away. So Hillel was not confrontational at all. He didn't look for fights. And Hillel was the one who was emulating Aaron HaKohen. So if that's the case, actually, we can see even better why the Shvatim why the rest of Klal Yisrael held that this that Pinchas did, this did not come from his grandfather Aaron. These were not the ways of Aaron. Rather, it came from Yisro, who in his days, before he did tshuva, was the non-Jewish idolater. All right. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no. This that Pinchas did is not coming from Yisro. It's coming from Hillel. Excuse me, it's coming from Aaron. How do we understand this? Actually, we find both traits by Shevet Levi. Aaron is from the tribe of Levi, and we find both traits. Here we find Aaron, the ways of peace, but there are other places. For example, in one of the early parshas of the Torah, when Dina was abducted, and this was by by Shechem, Ben Hamor, Shechem, the son of Hamor. They abducted Dina. It was Levi that went then with Shimon and destroyed the entire city, wiped out the whole city because they violated their sister. This was an enormous act of kanois, of zealousness, of violence. We have another case. At the time of the golden calf, Moshe stood up and said, "Mi Hashem Eli, who is to Hashem?" Because the entire nation just about had gone after the golden calf. Va'osve Elov Kol B'nei Levi. And the entire tribe of Levi went to Moshe saying that we had nothing to do with the golden calf. And Moshe told them, "Simu ish harvei, let every man take his sword and take revenge against those that worship the golden calf." Here we see again this zealousness in Levi. We see the third place also, the whole war of Hanukkah. Who were the leaders in fighting off the Greek Empire? This was Matishohu, Kohen Gadol. Matishohu, the Kohen Gadol, and his five sons. And the fact is, there in the Megillas Chanukah, it compares Matishohu, the zealousness of Matishohu, to the zealousness of Pinchas. So we see both traits by the Kahanim and the Levim that they come from, that they had the power to bring peace to the nation, but they had the power also to use the sword, to be zealous. How do we explain this? Concisely, this is explained as follows. It was the task of the Kohanim to unite the nation together and to unite them with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were the ones who were given the responsibility of the Beis HaMikdash, of the sanctuary. The Rambam brings, what was the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash? He says it had two purposes. One is where all of Israel would come to one place three times every year. This was Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. So this was uniting the nation all together. Second purpose was that it was the place, the only place set aside, Lahakriv Korbones, to bring sacrifices to the Almighty. So what does this mean? And the Kohanim were in charge of this. To unite the nation together and to unite the nation with Hashem. Because the bringing of the korbanos of the sacrifices, korban is from the word korov, to bring close, that's united the people to Hashem. And actually, that's what Hillel said. Hillel said that you should be from the disciples of Aaron. Ohev Shalom, Redev Shalom, Ohev Asabrius, love peace, pursue peace, love the people. This was to bring unity to the people. Shalom Bein Yisraehu, Umakarvan LaTorah, and unify the nation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So these were the two responsibilities of the Kahanim. Unite the people together and unite them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Generally, the only way you can unite people together is through ways of peace. And this is what Aaron practiced. Therefore, everyone wept for him. And this is what Hillel practiced. He was a man of peace and compassion and patience. And he was calm and settled and understanding. So he would unite all of Israel together. And he would teach them Torah and bring them close to Hashem. But what would happen if there would be a great mavdil, if there would be a great force that would come to create division in the people, or to divide the people from Hashem? Then one must destroy that mavdil. If a force comes to Israel that's dividing the people, or dividing them from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the only way to secure peace amongst Israel and to secure peace with Hashem and Israel is to destroy that mavdil, that threat of division. And that also was the responsibility of the Kahanim. Then the Kahanim and the Levim would take up arms and go to war against that, because it was their responsibility to see that Israel was unified with themselves and with Hashem. And this is what happened on these occasions. When Shechem came and he took Dina, and there Shechem came to Yaakov and he said, let us intermarry with each other. We will be like one nation. We will do business with each other. We will live together with each other. We will interact with each other, where we will be one nation. This was the threat to the unity of Klal Yisrael and to Yisrael with Hashem. No longer would there be Yisrael and Yisrael and Hashem. They would be diluted with Shechem's nations. This was the divider. So then Shevet Levi took the sword. By the golden calf, they broke the unity with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it states that what happened at the golden calf was like someone who just walked into the chuppah and he just took this woman as his wife, and then she went and committed an act of disloyalty. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just took Klal Yisrael and gave them the Torah, and now they went and served an alien god. This was a force that was destroying the unity to Hashem. Mi Hashem Eli, Moshe says, who is for Hashem? Yes, for a love called B'nai Levi. The whole tribe of Levi came to him. And he said, take your swords. We have to destroy this divider. This is the same thing by Hanukkah. By Hanukkah, what did the Greeks want? They went out to kill and to destroy Klal Yisrael. They said, come and live together with us, adapt our customs, serve our gods, and we will live as one nation. They were destroying the unity of Israel and Israel with Hashem. Matishol then took on the zealousness of the sword. And this was the same thing here. Here, this act was not just an act of promiscuity. This was an act to tempt Klal Yisrael to come to serve an alien god, Baal Peor. and they had united themselves with an alien god. So they were being taken away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There Pinchas stood up and he committed this act of zealousness in order to save the unity of Yisrael with Hashem. There can be no greater division between Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu when they go after another god. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I have to award Pinchas. I have to give him an reward. I have to reward him. And I will reward him with a brisi shalom, with a covenant of peace. Because this was not an act of war. This was not an act of violence. This was an act of peace. He has preserved the peace between me and Klal Yisrael, where we now once again can be one. Actually, the Gemara brings that he was the son of Aaron, who Aaron also was the one that was able to cool the wrath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and preserve the peace between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. So these are some insights and explanations into this act of Pinchas against what Midian and Moab was trying to do to Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Lachin emor hineni nesin lebrisi shalom," I give to Pinchas my covenant of peace.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.